Thank you, choir. May we look at the Word of God together, found in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20. What is going on in Corinth at the time? Well, there is a strong church trying to live apart from the world, but are greatly influenced by it. However, they are asking good questions for Paul and seeking godly answers. But what was Corinth known for? Corinth was the Vegas of its time. It was a port that sailors stopped at while their ship was traveling through the river port. The Corinthians would try to give visitors their heart's desire and have ways to make money. Everyone traveled through Corinth, which made it a vital location for the gospel to be preached and to grow. So the Spirit is actively at work in Corinth, and believers are being strengthened in the knowledge of Christ. Spiritual gifts are present and at work. God is at work, and God is at work today as we read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20, and talk about the unity we have in the church and in Christ as we use our God-given spiritual gifts for His glory. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20, the Word of God. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Let us pray together. You pray for me as I pray for you. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it and what it means for our lives. May that be evident today as your word is preached. And may you minister to our hearts and our lives. And may we better know the gifts that you have given us and the ways that we can serve your church for your kingdom. Lord, please be with us now and be with this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Winchester was watching a nature documentary one day on television because he likes animals, and I was watching it with him, as I do whenever I get a glimpse of free time. He was watching a show about a particular type of monkey, brown tufted capuchins. Each day, the monkeys travel down from their home on the side of a cliff and go down to a particular tree that grows a particular nut. They are so well accustomed to this tree that they know how to work it. They knock down 2 to 3 nuts at a time and then let them sit at the base of the tree for about a week. Then they climb down the tree, gather the nuts that have been sitting there the right amount of time, and head for their particular rock. The nut has to sit out a week or so before it is able to crack. Then the monkeys will grab their specific rock and pound the nut into the other rock over and over again until it breaks and they carry it back to their home. Their youngins practice the art over and over again in safety as they learn to pick up a rock over their head and bring it down to the ground with force to crack a nut one day. These young monkeys must practice for 6 to 8 years until they are ready. Now, not all gifts in the church require 8 years of practice. Some you are born with. Some gifts God has given you from birth, but others you need to work at. You don't stand up one day and just become a great teacher, although I wish that were true. You also can't get behind the piano or organ for the first time and start playing a hymn. After all, I'd love that to be the case. One of these days I'm going to have to teach myself how to play piano. No, those particular gifts take years and years of practice, and all gifts are vitally important to the church. I have 3 points today. One, serving unites the body of Christ. Two, serving identifies the body of Christ. And three, serving builds up the body of Christ. One, serving unites the body of Christ. Paul uses the word body 16 times in chapter 12 and uses it many other places in his letters. Here he is emphasizing the unity of the church. There are many members but one body. Just as Christ has one body, we are one body. There is unity in the church. We put our differences aside and come together as one. We are united under Christ as the head. There is no partiality, no condemnation, no half-Christians, no prejudices on the type of Christian or the type of person, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Even Charles Darwin once said that the human eye scared him the most because it was so advanced and could respond so well to light and focus on things so well. The eye is amazing and shows the intelligent design of our Creator, like every other intricate part of the body. The same is true of you when you are utilizing the gifts that God has given you. Let's say we're out on a church camping trip. You can't see without the eye, but the ear may hear the grizzly bear breaking branches and shuffling up leaves, barreling towards you. That's when the eyes are so important, so you can turn them to see and evaluate the threat. Sometimes you don't see that slithering reptile on the ground, but you freeze at the sound of that rattle. Or what about during your late night snack, if you partake in that? That milk may still look good to the eye, but it certainly doesn't smell good, and it certainly wouldn't taste good. Are you catching my drift? The church is the church when all the members of the body are operating together, having the same mind as that of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, and we are one because the Holy Spirit baptizes us into one. The human body and the body of Christ picture what the Holy Spirit does for us. This is not a water baptism, but a spiritual baptism. Salvation. All believers are baptized by the Spirit into one body. There is no middle ground or on the fence. We are baptized in, all-encompassing. Galatians 3:26 through 27 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So we are in Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. What a safe place to be as we are all joined together in one body. Who can defeat us? The Spirit indwells us. A church where the Spirit is active and not quenched is unified, it is worshipful, it lives, submits, and serves. The church not only worships best, but also functions best when you are utilizing your gifts given by the Spirit. Point number two, serving identifies the body of Christ. What do I mean by identifies? Serving the church with the gifts God has given you gives you belonging in the church, belonging with purpose. Another aspect of this is that we know a church is the Lord's when people are serving. When I use the phrase serving, it's important to note that I mean specifically serving the church with one's God-given gifts and abilities. Each member of the body is essential and has its own special value. You are essential to the church. Your gifts matter to the kingdom. To look at some biblical characters, Noah had gifts, didn't he? What were Rahab's? Samson's? Solomon's? David's? They all had God-given gifts, didn't they? What else do we know about them? They were sinners. They were all sinners. They made mistakes, and big ones at that. But did God still use them? Many of us struggle with a sense of being and value. We don't believe we add value to the church. Our gifts aren't good enough. And sometimes we even downplay other people's gifts so that we can come out on top. But we need these people's gifts. You need that person, and people in the church need you. The church needs the eye, the ear, the nose, all of it, each part, and you contribute. The church does not fully operate as the church when you aren't using your gifts. God has set it just how He pleases, for His purpose and glory, out of love. You may not like your gift, just like you may not like a part of your body, but God designed it for a reason and a purpose. A lot of people complain, "My nose is too big or too small." Or they say, "I get too nervous before I teach, so I might as well never push myself and do it." But our Creator God has given us these gifts, and He knows far more than we do. We never have the wrong gift. We have the perfect gift for us because God knows you and has a plan. What goes on in many churches is there are active members and inactive members. The reality is that there are people who come by multiple times a week and those who come by on Sunday morning. There are people who think about serving the church during the week, and there are people that only think about coming to church on Sunday morning. Can your gifts be utilized on Sunday mornings? Absolutely. But oftentimes, those active members have to cover jobs that they weren't even meant to do or are gifted at. The hand has to help the walk with the walking, and the foot has to do the scratching. Now we have some sort of deformed beast, and no matter how long you try, your eye can't smell and your ear can't see. We need each of you. New Harmony needs you. The body of Christ needs you. Church isn't for entertainment and consumption. It is a place of active worship in the presence of God. Let me tell you of a time recently where serving the church was not entertaining or fun. When Winchester and I had whooping cough, we couldn't do anything. We had to stay inside and away from the outside world. Our bodies were weak. Our immune systems were essentially non-existent, and any quick movements would start a coughing fit. But at the time, I had chickens. I recently sold them, even though I do love having them around. And these chickens needed to be taken care of. One day, I managed to go outside and refill their feeder and happened to find a chicken that had recently died. So I was able to take it out of the chicken house and get it ready to be hauled off or buried. But that little bit of work exhausted me into a coughing fit, and I had to go inside. Well, a day or two passed, and Faith said I was not allowed near that chicken. I don't know if the CDC told Faith I couldn't or what, but there was no possibility of me getting near that chicken or disposing of it. So Faith texted a group of several of you men about disposing of this chicken. Finally, one came to our house, got the dead chicken, and I don't know the rest of the story. The point is, those were my chickens. They were my responsibility. I chose to raise chickens, but I could not take care of them properly. So a church member used their time and resources to serve us in that way and got rid of the chicken. Something needed to be done, and it got done. The point of the story is, the church served us so well during that hard time, even helping us in the not-so-fun ways. And we thank you. We are forever grateful. Each different part matters. Even those that take out the trash, make sure the church is clean, help with the landscaping, etc. John MacArthur writes, "Diversity of the church is a God-ordained means of bringing the fellowship to oneness. But unless each diverse member recognizes and accepts his part in the whole body, diversity will divide rather than unite, destroy rather than build up, bring discord rather than harmony, and result in self-serving rather than self-giving." Our God-given gifts should be used for others in service to Christ and the church. We should not be wasteful or lazy. Don't be unproductive. Part of stewarding your God-given gifts in worship means accepting and embracing them. Don't seek other people's gifts. Don't covet Lee Jr.'s singing voice or Lynn's skill at cooking meat. Rather, spend your time putting to work your own gifts for the kingdom. The one with the ear thought he was left out because he wasn't the eye. Selfishness is never satisfied, and envy is never content. So build one another up because you matter to each other. When you're not coveting, you can then encourage another in their God-given gifts. When you see someone's great leadership skills or their organizational skills, point it out and encourage them to see their own giftedness. By doing this, you'll encourage and inspire them to godliness, and it just may benefit your church. We need to care for each member and their role in the church. Point number three, serving builds up the body of Christ. One problem I see with many millennials my age is they love the message of Jesus, but they've been hurt by the people of the church and thus reject his bride. Paul saw becoming a Christian and becoming a member of the body of Christ the same. You can't say, I'm a Christian, I just love Jesus and reject the church. You can't love Jesus and hate his bride. It doesn't work to love someone and hate their spouse. They are one. Christ and his church are one. Therefore, church involvement matters. And we are involved in the church. And as we are involved in the church, Jesus is working in our hearts and affecting the way we worship with our God-given gifts and makes the church more and more what it is supposed to be. We are redeemed. Redeemed in the sight of God, but also redeemed for the sake of one another. We are reconciled to God and to each other because each of us matter. God designed us and made us relational beings. We need each other. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need diversity and unity. Without it, the body can't function. The choir can't harmonize if there's just one voice. Now, I've been mostly talking to those of you who doubt your value in the church, but what about those of you who already know you have gifts and are using them? You're not off the hook. Verse 21 through 31 are directed at you. You can't do it on your own. The passage says you need each other. You need each member. And be careful not to neglect the weaker parts. Those that are lacking are actually more necessary. Verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. When one member suffers, we all suffer. We are all in this together. God has given us gifts that complement one another. Even the members that appear weaker and who we like to judge are vital to the body of believers. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Now we talked about not coveting others' gifts, but we see in verse 31 that there is room for us to desire the best gifts, and there is even a more excellent way to love one another in the church in contentment, harmony, and love. Verse 31 sets up the famous love chapter. What if you are equipped and have so many gifts and have not love? 1 Corinthians 13:1 tells us you become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Love is what brings it all together. Love makes our gifts matter, and love brings us together in one body with a variety of gifts. The love of Christ compels us. We love because Christ first loved us. How you treat one another is how you are treating Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We have life in Christ, bringing us together as one in love. The church is one because Christ is. The oneness of the church is vital, all united on the common ground of Jesus Christ. We say in the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Catholic Church. This is not Catholicism, but the church universal, the church around the world. The oneness and unity of the church must take place in love. I pray it be so. Not only should we say, what is best for New Harmony Presbyterian Church, but what is best for the church? What is best for the bride of Christ? The question is so important because Christ laid down his life for her. The gifts utilized in the church today are because of Christ. The ultimate gift God gave was through his Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. Jesus paid it all on the cross, and it's all to him we owe. So may we use our God-given gifts and abilities given to us to grow and develop, to cultivate for the glory of God. Use your gifts for the church out of gratitude to God Almighty by the work of the Spirit and Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Use your gifts to care for the body of Christ. People need your gifts. The church needs your gifts. Use what God has given you in worship and thanksgiving, helping anyone who has need. Other members are dependent on you using your gifts, and we are dependent on them. In no way, shape, or form are we meant to do this alone. We need Jesus, and he has provided at the cross. Christ takes care of his bride, and we should too. So we serve. Remember, serving unites the body of Christ, serving identifies the body of Christ, and serving builds up the body of Christ. So how should we live in the knowledge of what God has given us? In humility. Many of us in the congregation think we are God's gift to the world. We are only insofar, though, as we lean on the gifts of others, of each other, building up the body of Christ. We function because God wills it. He designed the eye, the ear, the nose, and he gives us the ability to use them. And he intends for us to. Just as he has given each of us gifts, he intends for us to use them for the church and the advancement of his kingdom. Woe to those who neglect their talents in the church. They say, I have no gifts, so I'll sit back and let those who do work the church. You do have gifts, and those who know that they have gifts, they aren't as self-sufficient as they think, and they need you. And there is also the gift of prayer. If you pray for your pastor and for your church daily, who sees that? But it makes all the difference. A dear lady in the church I grew up in told me that she had committed to praying for me as I went off to college. Sweet Brenda Carpenter. There were many tough days in college, especially since I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But knowing that Miss Carpenter was praying for me and the little notes she would send me in the mail, it made a huge difference, and in many ways got me through my time in college. God heard her prayers, the prayers of my parents and family, and the prayers of the church being lifted up on my behalf. Praise God for the faithful men and women answering the call and serving, praying. The most important difference may take place. The power of prayer is mighty because we serve a mighty God. And maybe you're here today because of the prayers of others who care for and love you. I know you're here today because you matter to our church body. You have value. We need each other. We need one another to have a functioning body and a healthy church. You are vital to the life of the church. Can God carry it forth without us? Yes. He doesn't need us, but he still chooses to use us for his work and glory. Our gift is perfect for us, even though we aren't perfect. If you can flip a light switch, we need you. If you can lock a door, we need you. If you can pray, we need you. If you can cook, we need you. Decorating is important. Turning off lights is important, because stewarding this building is important. Be content with what you have and have been given. Be content with the gifts you've been given. The potter has a right over the clay. And if you are not a Christian, you still have gifts because of God's grace, but they aren't Spirit-filled. You may have good intentions, you may have intentions to do good, but the Spirit in the gifts makes all the difference. And if you're a Christian who does not minister and pour into others, then what are you doing, I ask? We are equipped to serve God and his church. We are equipped to do exactly what he wants from us in service. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. For those of you who don't know what your gifts are or aren't convinced you have any, I challenge you to ask someone what you're good at and how you can better be utilized in the church. And for those of you who are tech savvy, there are plenty of places online you can take a spiritual gift inventory on and find out. I did not score very well in the speaking in tongues portion. Your gifts are important. Your service, help, and involvement matter dearly. In a country church like this, a gift you can give is showing up. Showing up to events. It makes a huge difference, and you can be ministered to and minister to others. Telling people about Jesus, inviting people to church. And there are those of you who know you are gifted and are quick to point out the faults in others. You have it all together, and you believe other members in the church are lesser than you. I challenge you to help the weak, minister where your gift set is, to see how much healthier the church can be when each person is using their gifts. God has set each of you as a particular part in the body as He pleases. It's His choice, and it's best for you. You function best where you are. Love others well. Smile at people in these pews. You need them, and they need you. Who matters in the church? You do. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace, the mercies you pour out upon us, and the gifts that you have given us for your church to be used of you. Lord, may we be active, may we be motivated and encouraged to do the work that you have called us to do. May we build up the body together in love for one another. May you call us to yourself. May we find our identity in you. And may we serve you faithfully and fully all of our days for your church and for your glory. Lord, thank you for using us in this. And Lord, may you be glorified in all of it. May we not seek to do this for our own fame or glorification, Lord, but for you. May we lift your name on high. May you work in us and through us, and may we live out the gospel daily, moment by moment, using the gifts that you have given us, that we may not boast in them, but only in you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.